Jesus has set us free. He's given us life. He's given us purpose. He has given us hope and promise, eternity, so much more. Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving early. God is good. He watches over us, cares for us, provides for us, and He's given us this day to celebrate Him. He is so good to us. Let's give our thanksgiving to God. How often? Just once in a while, once a year. No, He deserves it every single day in all things. We are to give thanks to Him. Bad news. I drove over two nails, a nail in each tire. Good news, only one tire went flat. And nobody was hurt. And it happened during the night. Bad news. Bible instruction was removed from the schools in the 60s, 50s. Good news. Bible clubs and organizations began and are influencing those who would come. Bad news. The assault against God in America has been spreading, rejecting the God who gave us our country. Good news, God's still here. We're still standing up for Him. And He's not only here, He's in every nation on the earth, Africa, Russia, China, South America, everywhere. God is not limited by the rejection of a few people. Bad news, staff-led prayers were taken out of schools. Good news, nobody can stop you from praying, or nobody can stop the kids from praying. Kids can still pray, and student-led prayer is still allowed in school. Encourage the kids, pray to their Creator and Savior. Revisionists have left God out of the record, even removing God from the first Thanksgiving story. That was bad news. Well, some people were paying attention. The good news, they raised Cain, if you would, raised awareness, and the parents and the educators that noticed this brought enough interest to it that they returned the references to God back to the Thanksgiving story. Bad news. Thursday can be a rat race. Got to get the food ready. Got to get up early. Make sure the turkey's thawed out or the ham is ready to cook. You got all those preparations. Got to deal with all the deadlines, and then there's some of those people in the family that just kind of are tough to deal with sometimes. Good news, you can honor Almighty God, who still gives you life, who has blessed you with every reason to give Him thanksgiving. He gave you food. He gave you a place, a home, family, an abundance, and the promise of more. Bad news, good news. It's all around us. What are we going to do with the information? What are we going to do to honor God? The purpose and meaning of Thanksgiving is being eroded, erased, and replaced by all kinds of distractions of the world. Satan loves all of these detours, all these distractions to remove the glory and the credit from his greatest enemy, God. Almighty God deserves the praise. He deserves the thanks. Are we going to let Satan use us to do his dirty work? Or are we going to give God the glory? Give Him the thanks. Let's don't let Satan have a foothold on our Thanksgiving. Bad news, November 11th, 1620. 102 pilgrims anchored at Plymouth, totally unprepared for winter. The good news? The pilgrims found a new home where they could worship God. Bad news? 47 pilgrims died that first winter. Almost half of them. Good news? It was better percentages than Jamestown, where everybody died. 55 survived. And with God's help, they continued. Bad news, the pilgrims faced the untamed world. Not a single house prepared for them. All the potential of hostile Indians to attack them. Everywhere else, the Indians were hostile. Good news? I was reading that in March of the first year, in walks this Indian, only wearing a loincloth, walks right into the house where the men are sitting, trying to figure out what their plans are in the future. And he says, "Hello!" Squanto. And another Indian before him had been trained by English people to speak English. Squanto himself had been captured, enslaved, taken to England, lived several years, came back to find his entire village wiped out by some kind of disease. And he was feeling hopeless and worthless until the pilgrims arrived. Squanto was told about the desperate condition of the pilgrims, and he walks into their village and starts helping them, showing them how to survive, showing them all the skills that they needed in the wilderness. It just so happens that the area that the pilgrims landed was his home territory, and all of his ancestors had been wiped out while he was a slave. They'd been killed by some mysterious disease, and no other Indian wanted the territory. They believed the area was cursed, and so they stayed away. And the pilgrims were allowed to flourish in this area. They were friendly Indians nearby. The Wampanoag Indians came and met them and help them. This information that came out of a book written by Peter Marshall and David Manuel, written called The Light and the Glory. I wasn't much of a historian buff. I've told you that before. But I find these stories about how God takes care of his people inspirational, encouraging, and a reminder that we have reason to give thanks. God's goodness overflowed upon the pilgrims, that God would provide Indians to help them prosper, to provide an abundance of food the first year that they were there, even though they were small in number. And so Governor Bradley decided, we need to give thanks to God. And he set a day aside to give thanksgiving. And they invited the Indians to come join them for one day of Thanksgiving. That's the good news. Bad news, the entire Indian village showed up a day early. Oh no, what do you do? Good news, the Indians brought food with them. They brought several deer and turkeys dressed, ready to cook. And they had a celebration not for one day, but for 3 days, because God is good. And the interesting thing, a little side note, the pilgrims were introduced to popcorn for the first time. The Indians showed them how to pop their corn. And we still enjoy it. How many of you enjoy popcorn? Yep. Thank the Indians. The first Americans were not only faced with the challenges of building communities in this new world, learning how to survive in the new world, facing the oppression of the elements and hostile Indians, but as time progressed, they even faced the persecution from their homeland. 100 years pass, and a lot of frustrations with the colonists, anger, mistreatment, which led to what? The Revolutionary War. After years of war, death, destruction, and the beginning of a rebuilding effort, President Washington made the first Thanksgiving proclamation of an official president, leading to have the people come before the throne of God. His first declaration reads, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly implore His protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially a form of government for their safety and happiness, now therefore I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, and also that we may then unite in most humble offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of the nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, and to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue and the increase of science among us, given under my hand at the city of New York City, the third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789. We don't hear those prayers, those declarations very much anymore, do we? But God is still there. And we need to be a people promoting and encouraging our nation to remember where everything comes from. It's all God's. It belongs to Him. We're just temporarily taking care of it, managing what He has given to us, to stand up for what is right and true. As servants of God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, let us rise up and give our thanksgiving to God. Lead your family and your friends in remembering the true purpose of the day called Thanksgiving Day. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for the great, deep spiritual history of those who have gone before us here in this nation. As we come to celebrate Thanksgiving, I pray that it's not just a one-day affair, but that we would truly give thanks to You in all things, all the time, for Your Word calls us to remember You constantly. But as we set aside this day, we pray that we would not be distracted by all the things that Satan would try to lure us away from giving you glory and honor and blessing, but that we keep our focus. Yes, Father, it'll be good to be with family and friends and loved ones. It'll be good to do things that are a little different. It'll be good to enjoy good food. But help us to remember all this comes from you, that you deserve the praise and thanks in all things. Lead us and guide us as we continue looking at your word, your scripture. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm chapter 50 is our text, and I'm going to start at chapter 50, verse 7, reading through verse 23, the end of the chapter. The psalmist Asaph writes this: "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not reprove you, for your sacrifices and your burnt offerings are continually before me. I shall take no young bull out of your house, nor male goat out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird of the mountain, and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of the male goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you and you will honor me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to tell of my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth? For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. You let your mouth loose in evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silence. You thought that I was just like you. I will reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you in pieces, and there will be none to deliver. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God." Powerful psalm, a powerful testimony, things that we need to pay heed to. The first point I want to deal with is God owns and provides what? Everything. Everything. We see this repeated throughout Scripture over and over again. We talked about it in our Bible study earlier as we are dealing with some other psalms later on. God is the owner and provider of everything. We need to keep that in mind. You know, through the years of working out on the farm, when I was just a little guy, barely big enough to get on a tractor, my neighbors had a little 8N Ford tractor. If you're not familiar, it's one of the little tractors. And I was just barely heavy enough to jump and stand on the clutch to get it to stop. But my dad needed my help, and so I learned how to jump on the clutch whenever it was time to stop, and then to try to ease off the clutch and not shake Dad off of the wagon in the back, taking off again, putting around the farm. A few years later, I got a job. Dad got me a job down at the local dairy. And guess what? They had another 8N farm Ford tractor, which I knew how to drive. Pulled the blade, did all kinds of work, and then pretty soon the farmer, he taught me how to do different things. He had another tractor with a bucket on the front of it, so I loaded grain and loaded silage and did all the work with that. And pretty soon he put me on his farm all and putting around and fixing the fields up for harvest and just doing all this work. And pretty soon he says, "You're big enough, you're smart enough, you know how to run a tractor, so I'm going to put you on the diesel tractor." And I just worked with that one. And then I changed jobs, went to another guy on another farm, and he had all this same equipment. And I just kept working and working from smaller tractors to bigger tractors until he bought a brand new Ford 8000 with a cab on it. I didn't have to be out in the weather anymore. Oh, I had air conditioning. I had radio. I had heat in the wintertime. Oh, I was living high on the hog. And then I quit and left it all behind. It wasn't mine, was it? It belonged to somebody else. All those things belonged to somebody else. And I had to just leave it behind. What do you own that you're going to take with you forever? Nothing. Every creature that lives is owned by God. We are reminded of this here in this Psalm. Psalm 104, verse 11 and following reminds us that every animal, every bird, every fish, every creature, everything is owned by God. It's given life by God. He's the one who sustains it. He's the one who breathed life into it to begin with. It all belongs to Him. So He has the right to ask for it whenever He wants. It says, live, die. How about us? Same is true for us. He gives us life. When He calls for us, we leave this world. There's no argument. Excuse me. God is the owner of everything. He created it all, and it belongs to Him. He has the right to ask for it anytime He wants to, anytime He pleases. God reminds Israel and us that He gave to us first. He only asks His people to return a portion of what He has given to us. Old Testament was a command to give a tithe. We as Christians are called to give as God has given to us, to give with a joyful heart, to give gladly because He first gave to us. He's provided it. And He only asks us to return a small portion. He gives us talents. He gives us all these possessions to be used for what? For His glory. The entire world and everything in it belongs to who? God. Verse 12. He spoke it into being, the entire universe. So it's all His. Psalm 104 reminds us of the same thing. John chapter 1, verse 3, all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. We're not talking about beings, B-E-A-N-S, into being, B-E-I-N-G. Everything is here because God spoke it into existence. Colossians 1:16, for by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him, including us, including our stuff, including this universe. It's all God's. He created it. Remember that. Point number two, God is worthy of all recognition and honor. Verse 14 and 15 talks about this. All of creation is praising God, so we should be joining in too, shouldn't we? If we are part of creation. Are you a creature? Are you a critter? A creature? created by God, we should be celebrating our Creator. The rest of creation is doing it. We should be doing it too. We are no better than God. He's the one who's gracious towards us and gives us life. God expects every person to willfully give Him thanks. He designed us after His nature, and that includes appreciation. I don't know how many of you have had children or deal with children, but in our household, whenever somebody gave something to our kids, we told them, you need to say thank you. Be appreciative of what you're given. Does that end at some certain age where we shouldn't give a thank you any longer? What about to our Heavenly Father? Thank you should be on our lips all the time. Let's remember to give thanks to our Father in heaven. We should want to give God thanksgiving as we realize how gracious and how kind He is to us every single day. The old gospel song, Count Your Blessings. When does that end? It shouldn't end, because the blessings keep coming on us. The very air we breathe, the chairs that you're sitting on. Oh, well, we paid for those. Where'd you get your money? Where did the resources come from? It all came from God to start with. They're not ours. Your body. No, it's not your body. It's God's body. Everything belongs to God. Bless Him. We should want to give the one who gave to us first thanks. God wants to help His thankful children, we learn in this passage. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. God wants to help us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 12 talks about this as well. God provides for us so that we will be overflowing with thankfulness, thanksgiving to Him. And as a result of that, as we help each other, that brings more thanksgiving to God from those people who we help. God is waiting to hear His people give thanks. Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5 directs us to enter God's gates with what? Thanksgiving in our hearts. We had that little clip at the beginning reminding us of Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. I don't know if you were listening, watching the verses. God is worthy of thanks. We are some of the most blessed people in the world here in this country. Surely we have good reason to give thanks to God, don't you think? All the time. Third point, God warns about a coming punishment and a coming reward. There is punishment for those who just absolutely refuse to say thank you. For those who refuse to acknowledge their Creator. Satan is constantly deceiving people with the same tactics that he used in the past. He promotes doubt. He promotes denial of God. He urges outright rebellion against God. Oh, God, He's not here anymore. That's an old fairy tale you hear. Good? What's good? Wow, that's bad. And what do they think? What do they mean by that? They're calling bad good and good bad. Brother Raymond shared with us those thoughts. What's happening in our world? Our world needs to be reminded that God is still there. He's still watching. He's still recording everything that we do and everything that we say. But Satan says, well, since God has not struck us dead with our sin, God must not be there. And Satan helps us to believe that our ways are permitted, because that religious stuff, that's just old fairy tales. That's just false belief. We're modern, scientific-minded people, and we don't need to give praise to some thing or someone that you can't see. Where is he? Where does he live? As the cosmonaut from Russia asked, I don't see God out here. The scripture tells us, look around. Everything's a testimony about God. God clearly describes the practices of every sinner. He knows every tactic. He knows every trick that Satan tries to pull. Those who dabble with or habitually participate in sin are without excuse before the Lord God, who is all-knowing. God gave each of us a conscience to help guide us. But if you just don't love God and you've seared your conscience, you have dampened your conscience to where you don't care anymore, God will let you do that. He wants you willfully acknowledging Him. If your conscience won't move you to appreciate God, God's not going to force you. But He warns you what the consequences are. You might get away with it for now, but in eternity, there is a price to pay. God knows who intentionally hates His discipline and His words. Verse 17 reminds us that God knows all these details. These people not only refuse to hear God, but they promote every kind of evil against God and against God's people. God will answer them in time. He gives us enough rope to do what? To hang ourselves, or to use it for His glory. God keeps track of everything. Before the making of excuses, we need to stop and honor and glorify God. Beware of making excuses. Excusing away your sin, and I just couldn't help myself. I'm only human. We are humans created in the image of God. And Jesus Christ, Son of God, came and died to take away our sin so that we would no longer walk in it. God's ways do not change. His righteousness abides how long? Forever. He offers us help through His scriptures. He calls for us to plead with Him, to seek Him out, to pray to Him, to pursue Him. And He gives us His Spirit to live in us. What a blessing. He not only gives us His Spirit to live within us, but why are we here today? We're to help encourage one another. The fellowship of the church body is critical in our lives. And God designed the church. Jesus designed His church to be His body, uplifting and encouraging one another. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. You are a blessing to Sally and me. We pray that we may be a blessing to you. Let's all be a blessing to the entire family, and to spread that blessing to those around us. Reach out in the name of Jesus Christ and share God's blessings. Remind our world that we're here because God gave us the life to start with. Let's please and honor our Creator. As their thoughts turn to thanksgiving, remind them about who to thank. And that it doesn't end with one day. Let's continue in thanks. A A day of reckoning is coming to those who reject God. Verse 21 and 22 warns us of this day. There's numerous Bible stories that show us some of the power of God, how He destroyed His enemies. He warns the wicked that He has the power to tear them apart. That is a horrific thought. But if you defy the one who gives you life, who gave you your body to start with, does He not have the right to do whatever He pleases with you? He promises to glorify His children, those who honor Him. That's what He wants to do. But when somebody sticks their finger in His eye, spits on Him, rejects Him, does everything they can to rebel against Him, what do you expect God to do? He will take His revenge. And it is a scary thing to fall into the hands of a vengeful God. No help will come. None. We need to warn the people around us, remind them, God deserves our thanks. God saves those who bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving, verse 23. All who listen to God and His Word will find His gift of life for how long? Forever. Forever and ever. When does that end? Never. It's good to give thanks. Through this psalm, we learn to give thanks. Even though it was written nearly 3,000 years ago, the truth of these words still remain. Since it was written, God has sent His only begotten loved Son, Jesus. He has paid for all sin, for all time, for those who would humble themselves at the foot of the cross. Jesus conquered the death with what? Life. He gives us what? Life. His words give us hope and life today. And Jesus said, I'm coming back real soon. Be ready. Will it be today? Will it be before Thanksgiving? Will it be on Thanksgiving that Jesus comes back? We don't know. Be ready. Be thankful. We have many reasons to give thanks to God. Salvation is just one of them. But it should be a big one. A great big one. God has saved us through His Son, Jesus. What will this Thanksgiving be all about at your house? Will it be centered on the temporary football game that, yes, somebody else wins another game? How earth-shattering is that, that we have a winner at a football game? Has that ever happened before? All the time. And is it going to happen again? As long as people are on this earth, yes, it will happen again. How about the food? Is it just about the food? Is it just about the family? Is it just about whatever? Or is it about giving thanks to God? Is God going to be the center of your thanksgiving? Counting your blessings, naming them. Give your thanksgiving to God today, tomorrow, Thursday, and every day God gives you life and breath. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for the great blessings you pour out upon us. Thank you for allowing us to be your people, that we know about you. You've given us your scriptures that we can learn about you so that we have reason to give thanks and know where to direct it to. Thank you for the church family, Father. We are so blessed. Thank you for allowing us to be in this nation with the abundant blessings. Thank you for the spiritual founders who directed us to remember you. Father, I pray for our leadership now that they would seek you and honor you and direct our nation in righteousness. Help us to be lights shining in this dark world, to use our talents, gifts, and abilities, everything you give to us, with thankfulness for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.